And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice.
What's going on, everybody? Start of the Stanley Cup playoffs this Monday. Great to be with you, Pete and Nick. One day after the playoff pool episode, go back and listen to that, of course, if you're doing DFS or if you're in your fantasy pool. But today, Nick, we're covering the betting side of things with a great guest.
Oh, it feels like Christmas morning, my friend, and we're so happy to bring in from the Action Network, the one and only, the man who is all over the Calgary Flames this season. It's Michael Leboff. What's going on, Michael?
You know, not too much. Very excited to dig into these series, man, especially the ones in the East. It's crazy to look at the dichotomy of the two conferences from a betting perspective. You're talking about in the East. Yeah, there's one big series where the gap in the odds are wide, but three out of the four, basically a pick 'em. And then out West, obviously, it's a much different story. So really, really interesting stuff here from a betting market perspective.
And Mike and I were actually on the Action Network podcast yesterday. So check that out as well. That podcast covers all different sports. And one thing that really jumped out to me, Mike, from our conversation was that the Tampa Bay Lightning, who are pursuing a three-peat, something that hasn't been done in the NHL in decades, are underdogs against the Toronto Maple Leafs, who have no proven track record from the past 20 years or so. So what gives with that situation from a betting standpoint?
Yeah, I think that, you know, as hockey fans and you know, the hockey media, it's about narratives, right? Like that, and that's our job, is to tell the story of what's going on in the season, what's going on in you know, the big picture of the league. What does this mean for history? And a lot of people think that that will translate over into the betting market, whereas the cold reality of betting is, like, it comes down to the numbers. And if you look at Toronto's numbers and then you compare them to Tampa Bay's numbers over the season, Toronto's been the better team and they have home ice advantage. So despite the disparity in goaltending between Vasilevsky and Campbell and, you know, basically all the baggage you just mentioned, the numbers are going to point to Toronto being the favorite here. Do I agree with that the Leafs should be favorite? I think, yeah, it's pretty close to a coin flip. The odds bear that out. But in this type of series, I'm looking at whatever team has the plus number next to their price is probably the one I'm going to be betting. So in this case, it's the Lightning, who I think have enough edges to basically nullify what the Leafs do well, right? The Leafs were fantastic in the regular season. And a lot of, we always talk, oh, can they translate that into the playoffs? And a lot of that comes down to the individual player, I think, when you're talking about the narratives. But the truth is, you know, Austin Matthews isn't playing against Victor Hedman every night in the regular season. But in the playoffs, you got to then do that, right? You got to play Anthony Cirelli, great two-way center. Then you got to deal with the Lightning defense. Then you have to, if you can find a way through all that, you got to beat Andrei Vasilevsky. So that's why we see, you know, scoring go down in the playoffs. That's why we see it's a quote-unquote tighter check game. It's just because the level of play goes up, right? So can the Leafs do that? Sure. Can they get through it? Yeah, of course they can. The odds tell you that they do it just slightly more often than not. But I think that in a series that really comes down to a coin flip, I'm always going to back the team with the better goaltending. And this isn't me saying Jack Campbell is going to struggle. I think a lot of times people think that, oh, if you're, you know, saying Vasilevsky is the better goalie in this matchup, I'm saying Campbell is going to cause the Leafs to lose this series. I don't think that. I think Campbell will be fine. He should be a fine goalie. He'll be play to that like 916 save percentage. But when you have a goalie on the other end and who's potentially can play to like a 922 in a series, even against a great offensive team, you know, you start to think, okay, like I'll probably go in, if it's priced like this, with the guy who's going to be, you know, stronger in goal. So I think there's enough here to back the Lightning at a plus number game one series line. I think they're in range here for a bet.
Yeah, I love that value too. And again, for everything you just mentioned, from Vasilevsky to Kucherov to Hedman to Point to Stamkos, like these guys just know how to get the job done when it matters most. And ultimately, it comes down to fatigue. I think this series could go seven games, quite frankly. I think the Leafs are going to be in it. I'd give the edge to Tampa. The Florida Panthers, Michael, you know, you look at this series and you look at the fact that the Florida Panthers, unsurprisingly, I think they're the most likely, most favored team to come out of the Eastern Conference. Are we giving Washington any shot in this series?
Yeah. So it's funny. I, when I was talking with Pete yesterday on the Action Network podcast, I was really kind of perplexed by this one. And the more I dig into it, the more I think there are enough signals here that betting on Washington, maybe on a game-to-game basis, will pay off. This is a clinical team, right? They're always near the top of the league ladder in terms of 5-on-5 shooting percentage. their power play struggled this year, which is a little odd, but you know, their shooting percentage overall is usually, you know, top three, top five in the NHL. And that's makes sense when you think they have Alex Ovechkin on the end of, you know, Nicklas Backstrom passes all the time. So they have the playmakers and the finishers to polish off scoring chances. They're going to need to do that against the Panthers, because these scoring chances could be, you know, 2-1 ratio for Florida. And they're going to need, that means they're going to need goaltending from Vitek Vanacek to be really good. And they're going to need the goaltending on the other side to be, you know, average or below average. And there is a world where this happens. You know, I think Vanacek is probably a little bit better than people give credit for. Whereas on the other side, you know, when you're talking about Sergei Bobrovsky and Spencer Knight, do we know who's going to show up? And yeah, the same thing happens, is going to take place with the phenomenon in the Capitals goal, but with the Panthers, because since they're a huge favorite, it matters more. So like you're laying, if you're going to be laying -225 in a game or -340 on the series, you're asking, am I going to get good goaltending from these guys? Because I'm going to need it to pay off these odds. And I think there's enough questions with the defense in front of them and the guys playing, you know, wearing the mask, that, you know, maybe the answer to that question is no. Do I think there's value on Washington right now to win the series? No, but I think that on a game by game basis, we will see some betting value on Washington. They're +180. I see right now for game one. Let's just say they get blown out in that one. The betting market will overreact, right? Like they lose 5-2, 5-1. Everyone's going to say, "Oh, Panthers are just going to steamroll this team." We've seen it happen all the time. I bring up this example all the time with the Penguins and Flyers a few years back. Penguins blew the doors off the Flyers in game one. The Flyers price ballooned like 35 cents for game two. Right there, that tells you what team you're supposed to bet, right? We just saw these two same exact teams play in the same exact venue with the same exact roster, and the betting market told us what the price should be. So then you see a 30 cent jump, you know that it's going to stink to do it, right? It's going to really be annoying to bet against the Panthers, but you just got to follow that value. So I'm going to be looking for ways to bet on Washington. It's just probably not going to come before the series starts.
Yeah, that happens all the time. There was that one Islander Lightning series where the Lightning blew them out in game one, and then the Islanders bounced back. And then, of course, the Avs looked like world beaters last year against the Knights in game one. And then the tune of that series changed very, very quickly. So, and then, yeah, with the topic of Washington, Mike, I mean, look back the past 2 years. You saw Dallas come out of nowhere to make the final. And then you saw Montreal, who was like the worst team in the field last year, go all the way to the final on the back of Carey Price. Usually has to be a deep team with some heavy play and a good goaltender. But is there anyone you're seeing out of the long shots here? We're talking, you know, I'm talking about actually going like to the finals or something like that. Do you think anything like that could happen with the four longest shots? Again, you know, again, according to like FanDuel Sportsbook, I'm seeing +3,000 for the Caps to win the Cup, +3,500 for the Preds, +5,000 for the Dallas Stars, and +5,000 for the LA Kings.
You're asking a lot, right, for that to come through. I think in this series, or this kind of pool, the way the bracket kind of shook out, I do think if you made me pick one, it would actually end up being Washington, just because, like you said, they are the type of team that can almost like play you into submission with the way that they play, right? They're going to be on you on the forecheck. They're comfortable, especially under Peter Laviolette, playing in these tight games. And they've been very, very good on the road for a couple seasons now. I think they had the best road record in the NHL this season. So there's enough here that if you're saying, all right, maybe Vitek Vanacek just finds the form of his life, right? Then you're getting 30-1 on the Capitals, and you could kind of see a path forward, especially if they get through Florida. Then you're thinking, all right, if you can beat the Panthers, you beat anyone, right? Like you just beat the best team in the conference. So it would be Washington of that four, just because I think the path is the most comfortable of those four teams. However, there are a couple of teams who are tier below that we'll get to later that I think actually have some decent value in the futures market. So I wouldn't be rushing to bet Washington. And if I did, I would actually look for like derivatives like Conn Smythe plays rather than the 30-1. Cause you know, Nick Martin on our podcast was talking about, you know, Evgeny Kuznetsov, he's triple digit odds. So if you think Washington does have a chance, maybe split your stake Washington 30-1 and then find a Conn Smythe guy you like, you know, whether it's Vanacek, you might need to request that one from the sports book because he's probably not on the board, but you know, him or Ovechkin, Kuznetsov, I would go that route.
Yeah, I would take Garnet Hathaway. That's my Conn Smythe front runner. I think the other two series here in the Eastern Conference, guys, have been really, really difficult to handicap. And Michael, we can start with Boston and Carolina. I think this has been much more difficult because of the uncertainty surrounding Freddie Anderson. So what direction are you leaning in that Carolina-Boston series?
Yeah, just alluded to it. I love the Bruins. I think the Bruins have a ton of value across the board. 20-1 to win the Stanley Cup here. Conn Smythe bets on, you know, Patrice Bergeron, Charlie McAvoy is 100-1, Bergeron 60-1, Pasternak's around 50-1. So, you know, sprinkling some of those guys in, I think, to kind of build a portfolio around the Bruins is a good bet. And I think betting Boston to win the series, I make them favorites even without home ice. So I just think you're getting a really good number on a team that we never really get good numbers on going into the playoffs. They're 20-1. They were 20-1 in February. And they're still 20-1 entering a postseason where they've been in great form. They went like 6-7-6 over the last 13 games of the regular season. But if you look below the surface, their numbers are exactly what the Bruins do. Great defensively, clinical going forward. The top line with Jake DeBrusk up there with Bergeron has allowed David Pastrnak to add some secondary scoring to their middle six. So basically you're getting the same Boston Bruins going into the playoffs that we always get because Linus Ullmark is playing well in net and you're getting him at double the price. And I'm pretty sure that what happened was because of the start to the season that Florida, Toronto, and Tampa Bay had, people kind of just forgot about the Bruins. They've been in fourth place in that division all season long. They were basically destined for this wild card one spot. And, you know, they just weren't all that interesting because we've seen the Bruins for what, a decade now, make the playoffs and do things. So it's like, I think people just are kind of like, yeah, they're boring to me from a betting standpoint, from a narrative standpoint, and they've flown under the radar. But if you took this Bruins team and you put it in last year's tournament, you would say this team's probably 9-1 to win the Stanley Cup. So you're getting double the odds, I think. And it's just because of the, you know, the situation and goal. But I think Ullmark has kind of proven to me that he can give them the goaltending they need. Plus, what do we know about the Bruins? They make life very, very easy on their goaltenders. So I like Boston across the board here. The path is good in that Metro bracket. I would, of those four teams, I would make them the favorite to get out of the Metro. So yeah, I'm all over the Bruins. I think that even if they lose game one of the series, jumping back in at a big plus number to win the series against Carolina is worth it too. So I'll probably be going down with this Bruins ship in the spring.
I think you're going to see both goalies play in the first round and maybe in the next round too, if they advance. And I think the big series X factor, which what you alluded to with the Pasternak secondary scoring thing, the big X factor is Erik Haula, because if Erik Haula is producing a point per game like he was over his final 19 games of the regular season, you're going to see Pasternak return value. You're going to see the top liners continue to be productive. And the added dimension of secondary scoring, right, Nick, is something that the Bruins, even when they had David Krejci, didn't always have come postseason time. It limited them in the year they went to the Cup Final and lost in Game 7 to the Blues. And then in the past couple of years as well, last year they won a great series against the Caps, but then they ran into secondary scoring issues against the Islanders. So, yeah, I like that element for Boston. And I think, you know, as good as the Metro Division is, you might not see a Metro team in the Final Four because the Bruins snuck into that other bracket. So, I mean, as far as the Eastern Conference, I mean, are you seeing any dark horses? Do you think if the Maple Leafs break through in the first round that they could go all the way? Is this like one of those things, those classic examples where everybody counts them out to win the whole thing, but then you look at them completely differently, Mike, following a first round triumph against the Tampa Bay Lightning?
I mean, they have the potential. I'm definitely not, you know, counting them out at all. I think that you know, the odds show it. Like, they think they're like between fourth and fifth favorite on the board. Some places have them in single digits going into the postseason. So they have a lot of love. The betting market has loved the Maple Leafs all season long. They've every morning you open up when the real market opens up, the Maple Leafs always take a ton of money. Even when Erik Chalgren was playing in goal, so like they've been lined as basically just like a shade below the Panthers for a lot of the season, and they're going to stay there, I think. And this, what we've seen from that first the price on that first round series against the Lightning kind of tells you that the Maple Leafs have a lot of believers this season, and they did last year too. And we know the story, but we don't even need to like get into it, because what happened last year doesn't matter. What happened the year before that doesn't matter. What happens in game one doesn't matter for game two. So like if Toronto loses game one, then if that price in the futures market goes up, you know, 15-1, you know, you're getting, that's an overreaction, right? This is still a great team and one that can easily come back from a 1-0 series deficit. does the goaltending hold up is the question. And that is a complicated one to answer. Because like I said, I do think Jack Campbell is a fine goaltender, and I think he will play kind of to that middle of the extremes that we saw from him this season. But the health is a question. And if he goes down, then you're talking about Eric Chalgrin or Peter Mrazek being resurrected. So it's like, there's arguments to be made for both sides. It's a team that I think is usually a little overinflated in this series. It's a little different because they're playing the Lightning. Like if they played anyone else, I think that this price would probably be out of control and I'd be betting against the Leafs a lot. But in terms of their futures, I think it's a fair price. This is a good team. One of the best four or five teams in the NHL.
In general, guys, I can't remember a Stanley Cup playoffs with this many storylines revolving around netminding and to marquee goalies at that. Like, in the next series we want to cover, obviously, is the Eastern Conference, and that's the 2-3 matchup in the Metro. You have the New York Rangers, you have the Pittsburgh Penguins. And, well, I think I like what Pittsburgh put together this season. We're going to finally see Igor Shesterkin in this type of setting, this bona fide setting at least. I just seem to be leaning with the Rangers. Maybe it's the home ice, and maybe it's the fact that Tristan Jarry is banged up. And it's ironic considering what happened last year for the Pittsburgh Penguins, right?
Yeah. So this series, I think, caught a lot of people by surprise the way it was lined. I think most people going into when the market opened on Friday night for this matchup assumed the Rangers would be a favorite. That didn't happen. The Penguins opened -120. The Rangers have taken some money, but it's basically a coin flip. Mm-hmm. And what that tells you is a couple of things. The Rangers have improved steadily over this whole season, but their 5-on-5 numbers, which is, we know, playoffs are played predominantly, and a playoff series is played predominantly at 5-on-5 against the same team. So if you're struggling to control play at 5-on-5, you're going to ask your goalie to do a ton. And sure, Shesterkin can handle that. We've seen it all season, especially in the first part of the season when he was basically the main reason the Rangers were in contention for the Metro Division title. But when you're betting, like, do you feel comfortable betting that the goaltender is going to stand on his head? Cause he might need to do that when you look at the 5-on-5 numbers. The Penguins should generate a few more scoring chances and a bunch more shots at 5-on-5 throughout the series. And their penalty kill is really good. So that kind of nullifies that Rangers power play advantage. And additionally, there's this guy, Sidney Crosby, who's very, very good. And he's a two-way dynamo. So you're talking about, can Crosby nullify one line? He takes one of the Rangers top lines out of the equation and perhaps wins that battle. Then you're looking at a battle between the bottom nine for each team. And at 5-on-5, I would give that edge to the Penguins. So while the goaltending disparity is pretty wide, what the two teams are asking their goalies to do is different. Where the Penguins are saying to Casey DeSmith, don't lose us the game, keep us in it. Let us drag this game as deep into the night as possible, and we'll get as many opportunities to beat Shesterkin as we can. The Rangers are probably asking Igor Shesterkin, who's very capable of doing it, to do a lot more. And from a betting perspective, the numbers are always going to tell you to go with the team that is better at 5-on-5 rather than the one that's overly reliant on the goaltending. So I like Pittsburgh here. And I think that this is a good situation to bring up a couple of things in terms of betting playoffs, where the narratives around series are always, they always end up providing value on the zag, right? Everyone's thinking this is going to be a tight series. They say about the Bruins and the Hurricanes and the Leafs and the Lightning. And we'll get to another one down in the Western Conference as well that has chaos written all over it. You want to kind of zag those narratives, right? And you'll find value. So Pittsburgh at -1.5 games, +170, Pittsburgh to sweep at 11-1, just from a pure math standpoint, those bets are going to have value because everybody's saying tight series. This thing's going seven. As a bettor, you should just say, that sounds good on TV, but if I go and open up, a sports book and want to make a bet, I don't want to bet into that narrative because the price is going to be, it's going to be too expensive to play into that narrative. Sure, it might win, but I'd rather go the other way and say, I'm going to get paid off fading the narrative. What do we know about, guys in the media? They're usually wrong, right? So you want to try to go the other way when you're handling, when you're betting on a series like this.
And I think you can also, in some of these chaotic series, if you could pinpoint a player that the ceiling is winning the Conn Smythe, like Sidney Crosby, like Igor Shesterkin, even on the other side of the bracket with Austin Matthews, like if you could envision any of those three teams going to the finals and winning the whole thing, one of those three players are probably going to win the Conn Smythe as MVP, probably like over 50% chance, 75% chance. Maybe you could envision another scenario, most likely not. So, is that how you're attacking the Conn Smythe kind of storyline of this postseason is to pinpoint those exact players that are very likely to hoist it if their teams raise the cup.
Exactly. That's the right strategy. You think about these markets are correlated. So if the Rangers win the Stanley Cup, Igor Shesterkin's going to win the Conn Smythe. He's 30-1. The Rangers are 16-1. So if you're going to bet the Rangers to win the Stanley Cup, you want to just probably forego that price and just bet on Shesterkin to win the Conn Smythe. Because, you know, all due respect to the rest of the Rangers, like, unless someone just has an absolute blinder of a postseason, everyone's going to be voting for Shesterkin. And even if, you know, Artemi Panarin sets scoring records in the playoffs, people will probably still bet Shesterkin because these are human beings making the picks, right? We talk about this in our preseason pod all the time. That's why I loved Daryl Sutter. If the Flames were a surprise team, because of the way Daryl Sutter handles the media and how much everybody loves him. And look, I adore the man, like, especially if he pays off this offseason, like, he's going to get the votes. And so with human beings making these decisions, if the Penguins win the Stanley Cup, Sidney Crosby's 50-1 to win the Conn Smythe. I don't care if Sidney Crosby scores one goal and has 11 assists in the playoffs. He's going to win the Conn Smythe, right? Because there's no way that the people in press row are not stamping Sidney Crosby's name on an envelope when they see him skating around with the Stanley Cup again for the third time in a decade, especially in a season where they weren't expected to do it. So that is the right way to do it. And there's going to be a player on every team where you're going to say, or for most teams, like, you want to kind of draw a line through the Avalanche and the Panthers, because those teams, there's, you can name 8 to 10 players for each that you can feasibly see winning the Conn Smythe. But for teams like the Penguins, the Rangers, those teams, you want to, and the Oilers for sure, like, Connor McDavid, I think, is 30-1 to win the Conn Smythe, and their price to win the Stanley Cup is shorter than that. Connor McDavid's going to win the Conn Smythe if the Oilers win the Stanley Cup. So you want to look at those numbers before you place, you know, fire on a bet to win the Stanley Cup. Do yourself a favor, click over the Conn Smythe and compare those two and think to yourself, you know, if I like the Penguins at 22-1 to win the Stanley Cup, do I like Sidney Crosby? Should I take double the odds on Sidney Crosby to win the Conn Smythe instead? And the answer should probably be yes. It's a little risky, but I mean, with Sidney Crosby, I mean, come on.
Yeah, there's value across the board. And again, we encourage everybody to head over to NHL.com, fill out your bracket, and I think you can map out better your ideas in terms of wagers and bets of where you want to go. And the house favorite for the Conn Smythe, unsurprisingly at that, is Nathan MacKinnon of the Colorado Avalanche. And we'll go over to the Western Conference now, Michael, and Colorado and Nashville. It's pretty amazing. We all expected Colorado-Dallas, maybe a rematch a couple years ago, and then Nashville bombed it against Arizona on the final day of the regular season. Do you subscribe much to the fact that Nashville actually did pretty well against Colorado in the regular season? How do you see this series playing out?
Yeah, if most situations, I kind of just don't look into those regular season splits that much. I mean, the perfect example is the Bruins and the Hurricanes. Like, the Canes outscored Boston by 15 goals in their 3 games. One of them was in October. The other one was Tuukka Rask's game where he came back and was obviously not himself. And then the other one, the Bruins played without Marchand and Bergeron, right? So how much can you actually look into those 3 games when you're thinking about how these 2 teams match up? So you look at the last game between the Predators and the Avalanche with Dave Riddick playing goal, and Nashville gave a great account of themselves, but you know, what were the Avalanche truly playing for? They're just trying to get ready for the postseason. They're playing against a team that they might play. So are they trying to, you know, be a little vanilla and not show anything, give them too much tape? You know, there's a ton of kind of things that go into that. I do think, similar to what I was talking about with the Panthers and Caps, there's going to be betting value if you could stomach it on Nashville on a game-to-game basis here. I'm not going to play them in game one, but if Colorado storms them in game one, this number is going to get out of control for game two. And if the Predators, let's say the series goes 5, right now you're looking at, if you look at the odds, Colorado -2.5 games is -110. So the books are telling you there's a 50% chance that Nashville wins 2 games in the series. So if they do that and you hit the right one, you're going to get paid off, right? So I'm looking for an entry point in on Nashville. It'll likely be game 2 after they get stormed in game 1. And it's not a bet that I'm going to have a lot of fun making. I made this mistake against the Avalanche last year, and I told myself, I'm not going to do this next spring. I'm not going to do it. I was all over the Blues in that series, and let me tell you, it was not a good decision. But I'm probably going to do it again, because I don't have the self-control necessary to avoid this team, betting against this team, because they're going to be crazy priced now that they're healthy and they're the Stanley Cup favorite. Everyone's going to be betting them. I think so many people are going to be betting the Avs to cover the series spread at -2.5, Avs to sweep, that going the other way is probably, unfortunately, going to have value. Betting Nashville maybe over 1.5 games, Nashville to win a game, that kind of stuff. Do I want to bet them to win the series? No, because I just don't envision enough paths to success here without Saros.
Yeah, I mean, you really never know, though, right? Like, I'm still mystified at why, like, the Golden Knights lost to the Canadians last year. I feel like if you played that out 100 times, like, it would be like 96, 97 times that Vegas would have won it. And that's what we see here with Colorado. I mean, you were talking about out of control, +430 on the Predators is a little out of control. And, you know, part of betting, I feel like, is fun, right? Like, all the pressure is on Colorado to finally get it done in the playoffs. All the pressure is on the Toronto Maple Leafs. I mean, why not just take the other one? Of course, the number on Tampa is minuscule compared to Nashville, but you could have a blast watching that series if it ends up going 6 games and Colorado's shaking in their boots a little bit.
Yeah, and I remember, like, last year when we did this show, we were talking about the Canadians and the Maple Leafs series, and basically I was on the Canadians, and the case was that there is a chance that Montreal pulls this off, and the chances can carry Price stand on his head, and then the Canadians still get lucky. And what ended up happening was he did stand on his head to keep them in the series long enough for them, for that fortune to kind of pay off towards the end. Cause the Canadians started playing really well, like towards the latter half of that series. They played well in the second round and they played well in the third round. So you're basically if you are betting on Nashville here, what you're asking is, can Dave Riddick keep the series alive, or Connor Ingram, whoever ends up playing, you know, the lion's share, can they keep the series alive long enough where it truly does become, you know, a goal off a shin pad in overtime gives us a game. And all, then you're talking about momentum, and you only need to win 3 more, and that becomes a lot easier, right? So instead of looking at it like, I don't think that the Predators are going to win the series, ask yourself, if you are interested in Nashville, can they keep it alive enough, long enough, where the variance truly does come into play? So and if you look at it from that way, it does become a little more palatable. I just think that you're going to have more success backing the Predators in the right spot. And for me, it likely will be that game 2 spot.
What kind of total are we expecting for game 1 of that series? Are we looking at like 6.5? Because I would tend to trend towards the over, no?
Yeah, I think it'll go to 7.
It has to be, right?
I saw it opened at 6.5. The Darcy Kemper has been really good. So
yeah,
you're basically asking the Avs to score 5 goals if you're betting that over, right? So that's, I could see it going to 7, being bet back down to 6.5 and kind of ping-ponging there. I'm really interested in the totals here because we always talk about the narrative of the playoffs, right? Scoring will go down, less power plays, et cetera. But in my hypothesis has always been the reason scoring goes down is because you're playing better goaltenders, you're playing better teams, and better teams have players that can play both ends of the ice really well. So I do think, right, you're going to see in the beginning, these totals will probably have value backing the under, and then they'll adjust pretty quickly if we do see that same narrative go into play here. And you know, the Panthers, excuse me, the Panthers, for example, like, they were an over team all season, especially at home, and against like the Capitals, who don't have goaltending. I think their totals will probably stay, especially when they're playing down at Sunrise, between 6.5 and 7. I'd be shocked if we saw 6 in the series. But if we do see, like, you know, game 1 going 2-1 Panthers, then game 2, I would, and similar to what I was saying before, if that number is hanging around like a 6.5, like, absolutely bet that over, because the book is just overreacting to what we saw in game 1. And one of the lessons that, you know, just kind of, it's really hard to, but the lesson you need to kind of remind yourself in the playoffs is what happens in game 1 really does not matter for game 2. What happens in game 3 really does not matter for game 4. I mean, you talked about the Islanders example, Pete, and think about game 5 last year against the Lightning. They lost 102-3, basically. Like, Steven Stamkos is still scoring in that game. I still have nightmares about that game. But then game 6 comes, and what do they do? Like, they play a really solid game and come back in the third period. They weren't thinking in game 6, oh man, we just lost 8-0. We don't have a chance, right? These games are completely different animals and different environments from the one that precedes them, and you need to treat them as such.
In terms of betting on the live line, Mike, I wanted to ask you, like, which teams stand out? Obviously, the Florida Panthers come back all the time. Some other teams near the top of the win percentage when trailing after 2. Colorado Avalanche number two behind Florida, Carolina Hurricanes number three. I know that in terms of trailing first, the St. Louis Blues are second behind the Florida Panthers, but anything that you've seen in the regular season from in-game trends that you think could make some of these hectic games tilt in one way versus the other?
Yeah, so I think a lot of times when we talk about live betting, we focus so much on the teams that can strike quickly, and that makes a lot of sense. But there's also a lot to be said about teams that can defend, right? So if the Stars go up 1-0 on Calgary early, I would love to bet Calgary at a good number, because this is a team that is just it's so solid defensively, and they have a great goalie. So the chances of Dallas scoring again, yes, I mean, teams are going to score 2 or 3 goals a game, but beyond that, it's going to be tough against a team like Calgary. So I actually like, you know, Calgary, for example, is I think a really good live betting team if they go down to Dallas, because they have the defense and the goaltending to kind of mitigate that that damage to 1 or 2 goals a night. And so it's rather than focusing on the offensive teams, that's what I'll do. I'll look at teams like Calgary, Boston, for example, are teams that I like to stay in games long enough, even down 1-0. The Bruins could give up a goal in the first minute. And would you be surprised, you know, you take a little nap and there's 6 minutes left in the third period and there's Brad Marchand scoring a power play goal to tie it at 1-1. No, of course not. That's what they do. So I look at those kind of teams rather than the ones that can strike quickly.
So again, we sort of buried the lead here in the pod. You did have the long shot call early on in the season on this Calgary Flames team. So without further ado, take the floor. It's Calgary and Dallas. Number one, obviously you probably like them in this series. And how are you feeling about potentially this team going all the way this year?
Yeah, I gotta get up there to Alberta for a game or two, right?
Yeah,
shake some
exactly.
Hands. They'll be like, "Oh, you're the guy," and I'll say, "Yeah, I'm the guy. I believed in you all the way." Yeah, I think Calgary. This is a matchup nightmare for Dallas. I think they're such a top heavy team that when you're playing a team like Calgary that can just roll 4 lines, Darryl Sutter can show up to the pregame skate and then leave, and I think his team will just know what to do. And that is not the type of team I want to play Dallas against, right? I'd rather Dallas against Colorado, because Dallas is a good team in chaos, right? They're clinical. They're able to stay in games long enough in that kind of environment to get it to overtime. They played like 20 overtime games this season, the Stars did. So against a team like Calgary that is just relentless and it'll keep coming no matter what the score is, like I was saying just before about the live betting angle, like this is a team that I don't think a goal down will faze them. They'll just keep rolling those 4 lines and coming after you. And against Dallas, a team that basically is asking their first line, most of the times when we talk about underdogs in playoff series, you're asking the goalie to steal a series. And Jake Oettinger, Scott Wedgwood, we might see both of them in the series. They're going to need to be great, but Dallas is actually asking a first line to steal a series here. And against Calgary, who can match them with either that second or third line, it's just not really palatable. So I actually think both Alberta teams, and we'll talk about the other one in a little bit, I think Calgary, you know, to sweep Calgary, I think they're, you know, near 5-1 to sweep is a good price. -1.5 at -140 even is a good price. And like some other series, if Dallas wins game one, I'll be all over Calgary on the series money line as well, because I just think that this series, the more and more you play it out in your head, the more and more times I think Calgary comes out ahead going away.
I agree. I'm picking Calgary. I just do see a glimmer for the Stars. Like, they're a good home team. You mentioned Oettinger. If he's the guy, if he could steal the series, he can go toe-to-toe with Jacob Markstrom. Miro Heiskanen, you look at what he did in the regular season against Calgary, 4 assists in 3 games. What he did 2 years ago in the playoffs against Calgary with 8 points in 6 games in that wire-to-wire series. So, like, I'm just a little sneaky with the Stars. Everybody's overlooking them. We're talking more about, you know, the good things about Nashville and the good things about Washington. But, you know, Calgary can't sleepwalk through this thing. And Johnny Gaudreau has struggled in the playoffs before. So it's just things to keep in mind if you are thinking about the potential upset. And then, you know, the big series in the West is Minnesota and St. Louis. We both feel, me and Nick, we're on opposite sides of the equation, but we both feel that whoever wins this series could give Colorado a real challenge in the second round. What are your thoughts on these two teams? Who comes out on top, and what's the ceiling for whichever one does?
Yeah, I think you guys kind of nail it, right? Like, both of these teams are really, really good and really, really tough to beat. More importantly, they're deep. That Blues forward group is incredible. it's going to come down to can Ville Husso and Jordan Binnington combine to make that offensive output count. And I think that they can. I would absolutely roll with Husso until he shows that he can't handle the playoffs. And then, you know, it's not a bad thing to have a Stanley Cup winning goaltender on your bench. Right. So I like the Blues here. I like both this in a weird way. Like I like the Blues to win this series, but I like both teams in terms of a ceiling play, right? Like you said, I think whoever comes out of this series, I'm going to be all over in the next round. But in just in terms of game, round one, I really don't see that much of a difference between these two teams. And I know a lot of, you know, pretty sharp people and betting models out there disagree with me, but when you break it down in terms of these two teams playing each other over and over and over again, I'll take that really deep offense of St. Louis to be able to skate with this Wild team and challenge this great Wild defense and pay off that +130 more often than they don't on the series money line. So I'm on St. Louis here. I think that, you know, like the Bruins a little bit, like I don't mind a play on St. Louis to win the Stanley Cup. Another team that, but like before the season, I bet Flames, Stars, and Blues. I don't feel great about that Stars one anymore, but I do feel that the Blues have the ceiling still to pay that off. And like I was just talking about with the Flames, like the loser of game one for the series probably will have a little bit of value on the series money line because neither one of them will be out of it, even down 1 or 2-0. And similar to what I was saying before, this series has chaos written all over it. I think a lot of people are expecting goals, 6-4 games, 5-3 games. And with that being the case, you can play into that chaos a little bit and say, why not back a team to pull off a sweep, right? St. Louis is 15-1 to sweep the Blues and sweep the Wild. And nobody's expecting that. And that's why the price is 15-1. And we see it every year. Like the Oilers got swept by the Jets last year. Nobody would thought the Oilers were going to get swept by the Jets. They didn't deserve to get swept by the Jets, but you know, hockey is a crazy sport and bounces really go a long way to deciding the outcome of games and best of seven playoff series. So there is a world here where the Blues win 4 games by 1 goal and pull off the sweep because this is a really tight matchup. So I'm looking at stuff like that. I think if you want to bet the Wild, you know, bet them, maybe split your stake between the money line, the series money line and a sweep. And that's what we'll be doing with, but I'm going to be doing with the Blues.
I'm hoping it's 7 games and like 17 overtimes. Cause the guys know I've been waiting for this series for a while. Can't wait for game one. And lastly, here in the Western Conference, famous last words, but I actually think there's some value in Edmonton and maybe lining up at least with Calgary, obviously in round two for the Battle of Alberta. It's famous last words because you never know what you're going to get defensively. The Oilers seem to always be a letdown in the Stanley Cup playoffs, at least the last little while. That said, Mike Smith's going in hot. They're really hot on home ice, and they're playing a Los Angeles team. I think if Drew Doughty were there, I'd probably give LA a better shot than I am. But because there's no Drew Doughty, I think Edmonton's finally going to win this series.
Yeah, man. I think if you had asked me in February, or if you told me in February that I'd be making a case for the Oilers at this kind of price, I'd think I'd got kidnapped or something. But I am. I think that the Oilers, like you said, they're in great form. And most importantly, Mike Smith is in great form. And I know that there are probably therapists out there that talk about Mike Smith all day long in Edmonton and with hockey bettors, because the guy is just impossible to figure out. He just turns it on out of nowhere. And that's what he's done. But this has been a long stretch where he's been good since basically the new year. Mike Smith has been one of the better goalies in the league. So I'm just going to trust that form. And like you said, famous last words, like my therapist probably will be ready to hear about Mike Smith blowing a series to the Los Angeles Kings in which the Edmonton Oilers outplayed the Kings 2-1 in terms of shots. But it's just the number is good enough, I think, on Edmonton in the derivative markets to back them. I think a sweep at 6-1 is a great price because there's just a wide gap between these two teams. And in terms of like a game by game basis, would you be surprised to see Edmonton, you know, just storm this defense, which, you know, you tip your cap to the Kings, what a season they've had, but they just don't have the horses to really shut down, you know, the McDavids and the Draisaitls of the world. You know, if you're talking about your best defensive players, likely Philip Deneau, and he's great, but you're going to need the guys on the back end to step up. And this is probably just a punch or weight class too high for the Kings. So I think the Oilers in a runaway is a good bet. There's still value on them. I would say +550 to sweep. I wouldn't really go much lower than that. And similarly, like another team that I'll be looking to bet if they lose game one on the series line and maybe even a Stanley Cup future. But like Pete was alluding to off the jump, if that McDavid number is better at your sports book. If it, his number to win the Conn Smythe is better than the Oilers to win the Stanley Cup, just go with that instead. But yeah, I'm actually an Oilers believer now. I can't believe I'm saying it because I was not that case. I was betting against this team to very little success for a lot of the season, but it's now I'm changed my tune and it's really kind of surprising. And I actually thought that a lot of people in the media, you know, everybody likes to do those picks articles and you got to pick one upset. Who is it going to be? I thought a lot of people would be picking the Kings and that really hasn't been the case yet. So there's something weird going on with a lot of confidence in the Oilers in both the market and the greater hockey universe.
Mike, if you're someone like yourself that holds a preseason bet and of course is going in siding with that same team, like of course me and Nick both sticking with our preseason cup predictions, and that's what a lot of people do, whether it's smart or it's stubborn. How do you approach different series when you have that kind of bias towards a preseason bet? Whereas like Edmonton, I think if you look at them right now, they're red hot. They're likely to go to the second round because they have one of the best matchups, if not the single best, most favorable matchup of any team out there. And then a rivalry series in the second round against the Flames could go either way, especially I feel like the more extracurriculars going on then start to favor the Oilers a little bit all of a sudden. So like, how do you approach a team where you could see a path of things getting interesting? And maybe if you don't have any connection, you're more likely to buy into the Oilers here.
Yeah, I think that, I try my best, especially when I'm on, podcasts or the radio to talk about it as if I don't have, this tremendous best bet of the year bet on the Flames. But when I'm talking here, I'm approaching it like I don't have any bets, right? And if the Oilers do advance, I do think that there will likely be actually value on the Flames in that series because I think Edmonton, people have, we just were talking about it. People have kind of caught on that this Oilers team is good, like legitimately good. They're deep. They're good defensively. And Mike Smith is in good form. I wouldn't be surprised to see this series price with Edmonton and Calgary because the Flames will have home ice advantage being like, minus 135 for the Flames, minus 140, especially depending on how that series goes with Edmonton and Los Angeles. Like if Edmonton sweeps Los Angeles, the value is just going to be gone on the Oilers. So I can see myself actually with a bet on the Flames in that series. But like we were saying, like I don't, for the Blues, for example, I'm not betting the Blues to beat the Wild because I have a Blues Stanley Cup future. I'm betting them because I think according to their series money line, they probably have value in what I think is a tight series. And then in terms of like just hedging that stuff out, most of the time I won't do it. Like I had the Canadians from before last season. And when they got to Stanley Cup, everyone's, people ask, how can I hedge my Canadians future? And that's like, it's a question of what your comfortability is with like risk. And I made the wrong decision of not hedging it because how I approach it is if somebody asks you, hey, you have Montreal to win a best of seven series against the Lightning at 50-1, would you take it? And of course you would. You would take that for basically any team in the NHL. I don't care if it's the Senators, the Sabres or whoever, like you take that 50-1. So I approach it like that way. I don't envision myself, trying to hedge out of any of these bets and hoping that, I get lucky in this Flames Bruins in the Stanley Cup and I can kind of just fly back and forth between the two cities and have my own little Stanley Cup parade.
I would go to that. Leboff, I want you to play professional handicapper right now. I'm so intrigued with this because of goaltending. It's so volatile in this league. So, 32 goalies, we'll go with that. Maybe there's, a third for another team, but what would you set the over under on when it comes to goalie appearances here?
Man, I whatever it is, I would take the over. I think, let's see, we can see, so 16, probably like 23, right? Like there's a series, out there that I think we could see all four goalies, Blues and Wild, right? We could see all four goalies play in that series. Then you got to think, okay, usually one goalie will get hurt. So you're talking about, and then the Bruins Canes, like we could see four goalies in that series. I've never seen it like this, where I'm going into each series thinking, okay, I got to handicap the goaltending matchup, but I don't know the goaltending matchup. Usually it's pretty cut and dry, right? It's going to be Andrei Vasilevskiy versus Semyon Varlamov, but it's not like that. It's very different this season. This year has been very strange from a handicapping perspective since the get-go. Favorites, the chalk has just had a runaway successful year in the NHL. The overs have had a runaway successful year. So it's a very strange season, and I expect that to continue because, go the other way. What teams, assuming all goalies stay healthy, what teams are just going to play one, right? The Avalanche, the Flames, the Rangers.
I don't
and the Leafs, I guess, right?
Tampa.
Yeah. So five. That's 5 out of 16. And it's, I mean, that doesn't happen.
I mean, I look at like the Bruins. There are a couple teams out there that if they play two goalies, I'm not petrified. I'm not worried. Florida is one of them. You assume Knight will get in there at some point if Bobrovsky falters. Swayman and Ullmark have nice little chemistry and they feed off of each other. So that could help them maybe make a deep run, even if they're both playing at different points in the series. And then the Minnesota Wild, I will say, I think there's a significant goalie advantage in Minnesota's favor against the Blues. If the Blues play Husso and Binnington, I think they have a problem. That's just my hunch on the situation. If the Wild have to go to Cam Talbot, I don't think it's the end of the world. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think you're looking at it the right way. I think there's some teams that they can play it to their advantage. I think the Bruins are definitely one of them. I think the Panthers are one of them. Because, look, if Jack Campbell struggles in games one and two, the Leafs have no choice. I mean, go back to those Islanders last year, right? When Tristan Jarry was struggling, the Penguins didn't want to go to Maxime Legacy. Like, you can't do it. I mean, you can think back to that Penguins Islanders series from 2013 when Evgeny Nabokov, God bless him, was really struggling in that series. And Jack Capuano just didn't want to go to Kevin Poulin. If Spencer Knight or Sergei Bobrovsky is struggling, Andrew Burnett's going to have no problem going to the other guy. So yeah, there is an advantage to it. I think, I do think that the gap between a lot of these goalies is probably less pronounced than we think. I think the Smith and Jari are a great example of that. I really don't think there's that much of an advantage or a gap between Jari and the Smith. Although the numbers this season will tell you Jari was the better goalie. The Smith was in better form since around St. Patrick's Day. So it's another opportunity also for you to take advantage in the betting market because betting markets love to overreact to goaltending news or goaltending changes. So, you know, if Spencer Knight is named game one starter, you might see this number move away from the Panthers because the market perception is going to be like, oh no, Spencer Knight's in goal. Whereas we know there's really, especially with the way Knight's been playing, there's really not that big a difference between the current forms of Sergei Bobrovsky and Spencer Knight. So it's another thing to keep in mind when you're betting that, you know, if we see Peter Kochetkov come in for the Hurricanes for game two and the number gets out of control, you can probably play that to your advantage and bet the Hurricanes because he's not, shouldn't be in a one game sample, a significant downgrade from Antti Raanta, perhaps over the course of a long season or even a series. Yes. But in a one game sample, goaltending is so noisy that you can probably take advantage of that by going the other way.
I think that dude's undefeated still in this league. He's got a hot record this season, whether it be the A or the NHL. Will you be dabbling into the prop market, Michael?
Most of the time I steer clear. I've just never been able to win. And like when you talk like player futures, for sure, I love betting, you know, awards, and I love betting, you know, those kind of markets. I'll probably bet like first goal scorer for all these game ones, but those are for fun bets. Like to back my strategies. Usually I call it the Kirby Doc theory. I like big bodied forwards that are just spend most of their time in front of the blue paint, because you're talking about, you know, scramble in front of the net for the first goal. And who's likely to get that if Kirby Doc's on the ice or Anders Lee is on the ice? It's those guys, right? And I like power play quarterbacks, I think, because defensemen are always a little undervalued in those kind of markets. So guys like John Carlson or, you know, Torrey Krug, if he's healthy, those kind of guys who run power plays, those are the guys I target in first goal scorer bets. Those are bets that you should not expect to win more often than you don't. And you should only bet those ones for fun because they're really, really hard to win. And it's just about getting lucky once a round. And then hopefully that kind of builds your bankroll for the next round. But yeah, I like those props much more for fun. I've never had an edge. I've never been good at betting, you know, the overs on points or goals or shot props. But those other ones I enjoy.
I think there's going to be a market for Chris Kreider anytime goals this postseason, especially if the Rangers go far, right, with how he has done in front of the net, eclipsing 50 goals this season. We'll see if it carries into the playoffs. So, yeah, Michael, your cup pick is the Flames over the Bruins, last I heard, and therefore, who is your best bet for the Conn Smythe? Is it Markstrom? Is it Johnny Hockey cap in his contract year? Is it Matthew Tkachuk, who scored 100 points this season and I think could add a big element to the Flames? He was actually injured in that series that they lost in six to the Dallas Stars, did not play the tail end of that series. And that was an amazing series a couple of years ago. So it'll have that Matthew Tkachuk element.
Yeah, I think if it ends up being like that matchup, and I was picking one from each team, it would end up being probably whoever on that first line is the best price for Calgary, because their team kind of like the Avalanche, where you can see it going a number of different directions. It could go to the goaltender, it can go to, you know, Gaudreau or Tkachuk. But I like Elias Lindholm was like 40 or 50 to 1 last time I checked, and he's got the potential to be you know, the points leader if Calgary ends up getting to the Cup final because of the way he runs that line. So I like the value on him if I had to pick a Flames player. But if you ask me, you know, Cup pick Bruins, Flames, Conn Smythe pick Patrice Bergeron, and he's 60 to 1. And similar to that narrative with Crosby, if the Bruins get there, no matter how Bergeron plays, I think that he's likely to win the Stanley Cup and what could be his the Conn Smythe and what could be his swan song. And I also don't hate Charlie McAvoy; he's triple digits. So back in the Long Island boy, although he's grew up a Rangers fan, we'll forgive him for that if he wins a Conn Smythe at 100 to 1.
Value with a capital V, and that's how we view you as well, Michael. Thanks so much for your time today, and enjoy the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs here.
I'll do my best. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, Mike Leboff of Action Network, and I encourage all to go check out NHL.com and check out the NHL Stanley Couple. It's the NHL's version of Wordle. It's going to be a lot of fun, Pete.
Yeah, I don't play Wordle, but I love hockey, so I'm going to check it out for sure. The NHL Stanley Couple is presented by Upper Deck. Upper Deck epac.com lets you buy, open, and collect your favorite hockey cards from anywhere at any time. Get a free pack just for logging on. Visit upperdeckepac.com today, and also fill out your brackets, right? Like I just did mine yesterday. I posted it. You get some bad reviews, but then when you're right in the end, you feel a little bit better about yourself. But Nick, is anything jumping out to you about the Monday slate? We're getting the playoffs going this Monday later today.
Yeah, a couple of things. I would certainly look at the value in Tampa. I think if you're able to get them a couple of days ago as the underdog in game one, at least, I think you look at that. The Leafs have a propensity for not having the best start to their Stanley Cup playoffs, haven't won a round in 18 years. And weirdly enough, and again, famous last words, I might look at the Edmonton puck line. I just think they're a much better team. They're 14-0-1 on home ice in the last 15 games. So I'm going to side with Edmonton on Monday night as well. How about you?
Did you see, they showed it on the broadcast a couple of weeks ago during Mike Smith's winning streak, that he's been drinking pickle juice, organic pickle juice, and it relieves muscle cramps. I'm not even kidding. He's 40 years old. He's on a 9-game winning streak. And you're right. He's probably going to keep the hot hand going. If he plays a series down the road against Calgary, maybe injuries could catch up to him and things like that. But I like the ride the hot hand storyline for Mike Smith with this crazy development going on. And I do think, you know, I'm on the Bruins. Of course, Michael Leboff's on the Bruins. You can follow him at the Big Lebowski, by the way, and everything he's doing with his playoff previews. But I do think in game one for the Hurricanes, they probably feel like they're a little slighted right now. Would not be surprised at all if the Hurricanes took care of business at home. That place is going to be ramped up as it always is in the postseason. I see the Bruins eventually clawing their way back into the series, but I do like the Canes in game one against Boston.
I like it. I like it. And regardless, jazzed up, fired up, man. Like, we've been waiting a while. It's been a long, long regular season, and I can't wait to get going here, Pete.
Yeah, same here. And we'll be back at you later in the week. NHL Fantasy on Ice. Reminder to go back and listen to the show we did on Sunday with Chris Meaney, playoff pool preview. You could start a playoff pool, whether it's on a site like Fantrax or Office Pools, or even just by hand with a bunch of your buddies and tally up the points. It's pretty easy. So it's something that I think complements the bracket challenge really well. And, you know, if you're a fantasy guy from the regular season, get something going for the playoffs with your friends, even your casual buddies. That's the cool thing about the hockey playoffs, right, Nick? Like, even the casual fans get on board. Well, I know we'll see it with the Rangers in New York City here.
Let's get it, baby. Let's do it.
So for Nick Alberga, Michael Leboff, we really appreciate you tuning in. We'll talk to you later in the week, NHL Fantasy on Ice. Thanks for listening.